The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So to me, this is one of the most interesting texts in the Bible. Now, I know there's that thought that we want to take this text and throw it against people or use it as what they call Bible bullets. But to me, it's the most interesting because it comes in three parts. The first part, we tend to ignore, right? The man who runs up to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, can you tell my brother to give me some inheritance?" And Jesus just basically shrugs him off. You see, that doesn't make for a good story. Yes, there was the Jewish customs where you would divide the property and the oldest brother would get 2 shares to everyone else, and then the youngest brothers would get 1 share. So it could have been just a man asking for a fair share of his property. Who knows? But we won't know because Jesus didn't really take the time to directly answer the question. Instead, Jesus dives right into this parable. And this parable, wow. Right? This parable talking about money and wealth and that foolish rich guy. And that's really easy for us in this congregation to look out those doors over there and see multi-million-dollar homes and think to ourselves, wow, maybe this parable is saying something we all should go out there and preach to our neighbors. But this concept of money seems to go hand in hand with time. And to me, there's this movie that accurately represents both. It's called In Time. It stars Justin Timberlake, you know, back after his boy band phase, but before his solo career. See, this movie, Justin Timberlake's character lives in the ghetto, and how people's lives are measured is simply by the amount of time that is left on their arm. When that time runs out, the person dies. You see, you get more time by going to your job and working. You can also get loans from the bank for time, but they come with extremely steep interest rates. And you have to pay for everything in time. Your rent might cost a day or two. A cup of coffee costs 5 minutes. And it's just this concept that this time is literally money. And I think it's a concept that we all know very well. And it's a concept that I myself utilized lately when I was filling out my rostered minister profile for the ELCA. And there was a question about, how do you know you're actually following your call? And my response was, well, I took a massive cut in my earnings potential, so I think I'm doing that. But it's easy for us, as people sitting here comfortably in the pews, to think in our heads, yeah, those darn rich people living in their homes, not having to worry about bills, not having to worry about car payments, or filling the car up with gas, or if they're gonna have enough food. And it's easy for us to say, they're being selfish, they're being greedy, how dare they? But it's harder for us when we don't divide the story into three parts, when we take it as the whole story. You see, Jesus doesn't tell these parables simply to condemn one person. Jesus tells these parables to condemn us all. You see, and this parable is about greed. Greed that has us trapped. You see, there's something that we all crave. There's something that we all cannot get enough of. For me, it's bacon and cake. For others, it might be money. It might be cars. It might be property. For some people, it might be weirder things. Who knows? But we all have that one thing that we would do just about anything to get. And that's the type of greed that God and Jesus are talking about in this parable. Because it's that type of greed that then brings us to the last sentence of our gospel from today. It's that type of greed that tells us we have spent our time on other things besides getting to know God. And to me, that kind of hurts, right? That kind of condemns me deeply of like, oh yeah, maybe I haven't been spending enough time with God. Maybe I haven't spent enough time worshiping and praising God. Maybe I've been too busy chasing things, you know, like rent payments and money to pay for meals. And then you kind of stop and you think, that can't seem right, right? Like, God can't be condemning us for wanting to live. And you're right. God's not condemning you for wanting to live. God's not saying, hey, don't go to your job, instead spend the time praying. Or, hey, don't do whatever else you do, spend your time worshiping me. God is saying, worshiping me should be a priority in your life. God is saying, you should want to worship me more than anything else in the world. God is saying, you should want to worship me more than people want to be racist, more than people want to be white supremacist, more than people want to be prejudiced and segregate people based off what they look like, act like, or believe. God is saying, worshiping me is greater than all these things. And the reason we know this is through the gospel that is shared to us through Jesus Christ, that wonderful gospel that tells us that there was a death and a resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. Because we know no matter what we do, we're always going to be caught up in this world of greed. We know no matter what, we're always going to want one more dollar or one more slice of cake or one more of whatever it is that we crave. But thanks to this forgiveness of sin, while we are still trapped in bondage to this greed, there's hope. And this hope is, yes, the eternal salvation that Jesus brings and all that good stuff. But this hope is too for a better life here on earth. Because through this gospel and through this worship, we are able to know that we should do things like worship God and praise Jesus with our first time, as opposed to with that leftover time at the end of the day that we might get around to if we're not too tired. And see, by doing that simple act of putting worship and praise first, we as a worshiping community we as a world would be able to drastically change that neighborhood around us. We would be able to take this us versus them mentality that has occurred so often in the news and in mass shootings, and instead of an us versus them, make it a we are all in Christ and Christ is in us all mentality. Now you see, at the end of the movie, in time, they rob a very rich person and they distribute 1 million years worth of time to all the people in the ghetto region. And someone says, you know, that's not really gonna make a difference because once that time is used up, the system is just gonna go back into place and it will just be some people living forever and others working day by day to try to survive a few hours. And the response is, well, yes, that might be, but really, we gotta try. And so once that time is distributed, people are in the streets going crazy, sharing time with each other. There's just this extremely joyful scene. And then it kind of hit me. Even though there's all this time and people have the time to do things that they've never done before, there still needs to be a priority on that time. They still need to say, what am I gonna do? Am I going to pay off the house? Am I gonna go to a fancy dinner? Am I gonna rent a car? This priority on time is something we in our lives too are trapped with. And that's where I leave you today. It's just with the thought that as you leave here, stop and think about that priority of time. Is your time focused on that greed or that one thing that you feel like you cannot live without? Or is your priority focused on worshiping and praising God and giving thanks for the wonderful gift of the gospel? Now I can tell you, mine's not always on praising God. But I can tell you, thanks to the gospel and thanks to this wonderful God, even when we don't prioritize, God still loves us, God still forgives us, God still redeems us, and God still grows with us every day. Amen.